Good morning, and happy Sunday. My name is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading to you from the North Carolina Reading Service. And the program is called Reflections, and the intent of the program is for the blind and reading impaired. And we are grateful to be here with you today. If you're new to the program, thank you. We hope that you will be blessed by the words of the Holy Bible. And if you're joining us as a regular, we certainly appreciate your devotion to this program. And we certainly appreciate any and all feedback. As is our custom, we will begin today with a prayer, and then we will also read a daily devotional called Jesus Calling, written by Sarah Young, and then we will get into the book of Romans, where we will pick up in chapter 9. So, our prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the North Carolina Reading Service, and we thank you for our listening audience, and Lord, we thank you for our families and the support and love we have from our parents, our wives, our husbands, our children, our brothers and sisters, from our neighbors. And Lord, we are most thankful for your gift. We learned last week that God's gift to us is Jesus Christ, and the faith that we have to believe in him as Lord and Savior. Lord, we ask that the words of Romans, the words that Paul wrote to the people in Rome some 2,000 years ago, will live in our hearts today and help us deal with the trials and tribulations that we face, and that we may robe ourselves with Christ's glory and your Holy Spirit and your love and your peace, and that we may pass it along to others that we come across on a daily basis. Father, we ask for healing for those who are infirm. Father, we ask for food and nutrients and the things that help sustain people that may be hungry or thirsty. Lord, you are an all-powerful and all-loving God, and we ask for your help in all things. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Sarah Young has for us today, her words are these, be on guard against the pit of self-pity. When you are weary or unwell, this demonic trap is the greatest danger you face. Don't even go near the edge of the pit. Its edges crumble easily, and before you know it, you are on the way down. It is ever so much harder to get out of the pit than to keep a safe distance from it. That is why I tell you to be on guard. There are several ways to protect yourself from self-pity. When you are occupied with the praising and thanking me, it is impossible to feel sorry for yourself. Also, the closer you live to me, the more distance there is between you and the pit. Live in the light of my presence by fixing your eyes on me. Then you will be able to run with endurance the race that is set before you without stumbling or falling. The scripture references for today, Psalms 89, verse 15 and 16, and again, this is one of my favorites. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. In your name they rejoice all day long, and in your righteousness they are exalted. And then Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Amen. So we will like to provide a little summary for last week's reading. And we were read chapter 5, verses through chapter 9, verse 16. And it was tremendous to receive God's wisdom and his knowledge, and to learn how God defined his love. And his love is defined as a gift, and that gift is Jesus Christ. And our faith in Jesus and our faith in him gives us new life, a life where God's Holy Spirit lives within us, so that we too can be heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And we also learned towards the end of the reading that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. And again, that love is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So let's pick it up from where we were last week. And we will, I'm going to go back a couple of verses here and start. So this we'll pick up at chapter 9, verse 14. What then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not, therefore, depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For Scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up. Excuse me one second, please. I'm going to apologize here. It does not therefore depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For Scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Therefore God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden. One of you will say to me, then why does God still blame us? For who is able to resist his will? But who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes and some for common use? What if God, although choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, bore the great patience the objects of his wrath prepared for destruction? What if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance of glory? Even us, whom he also called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles, as he says in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people, and I will call her my loved one who is not my loved one. And in the very place where it is said to them, you are not my people, there they will be called children of the living God. Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, though the number of his Israelites be like the sand of the sea, only the remnant will be saved, for the Lord will carry out his sentence on earth with speed and finality. It is just as Isaiah had said previously, unless the Lord Almighty had left us descendants, we would have become like Sodom, and we would have become like Gomorrah. What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith? But the people of Israel who pursued the law as the way of righteousness have not attained their goal. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if they were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it was written, See, I lay in Zion a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall, and the one who believes in them will never be put to shame. All is being said here is that, and again, he's talking at the time to the Romans. Some were Jews and some were Gentiles. Not all Jews were going to be saved or will be saved. The only people that will be saved are those who have faith in Christ. It is not by works. It is by faith, and that faith is a gift. The faith is a gift by God. And Paul reiterates that and reiterates that and reiterates that in different ways, but it all comes back to that, faith in Christ. Chapter 10, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses writes this about the righteous that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I'm going to repeat that. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's a big end there. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, say with me now, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew or Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed your message? Consequently, faith comes from the hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. But I asked, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, the words to the ends of the world. Again I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But the concerning Israel says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. Chapter 11. I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself and a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. Of course, this is Paul speaking. God did not reject his people, for who he foreknew. Don't you know that the scripture says in the passage about Elijah, how he appealed to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me. And what was God's answer to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed to the knee of Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it cannot be based on works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. What then? What the people of Israel sought so earnestly, they did not obtain. The elect among them did, but the others were hardened. As it was written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that could not see, and ears that could not hear, to this very day. And David says, may their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and retribution for them. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see, and their backs be bent over forever. We'll come back to chapter 11, verse 6, and it says, and if by grace, then it cannot be based on works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. That's the big difference. There are a lot of people that think, oh, I'm a good person. I will do this nice. I will do this. I'll do this. And that will save them. That does not save them. What happens is the faith, your faith in Christ, your faith that he lived and died and came again, that changes our hearts. And those changed hearts is what creates goodness in the world. Man can't create goodness. We're not capable. We were born with a sinful nature. We cannot create good. The good in the world is the converted hearts, the faith in Christ, the belief in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And those changed hearts because of that, the spirit-filled beings that brings good into the world. Chapter 11, verse 11. Again, I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. But if their transgression means riches for the world and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will there be at full conclusion? I'm talking to you, Gentiles, and as much as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I take pride in my ministry in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. For if their rejection brought reconciliation to the world, what will their acceptance be but life from death? If the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not consider yourself to be superior to those other branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. That root, of course, being Christ. You will say then, branches were broken off so I could be grafted in. Granted. But if they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith, do not be arrogant, but tremble. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Consider, therefore, the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off, and if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. I'm going to repeat that. Consider, therefore, the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell. Those who fell or those who didn't believe. But kindness to you, you who do believe. Providing that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And if they do not persist in their unbelief, that means if they do come back to believing, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. After all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature, and contrary to nature, were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? I do not want you to be ignorant about this mystery, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening, in part until the full number of Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies for your sake. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on the account of the patriarchs. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Just as you were at one time disobedient to God, have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have become disobedient in order that they may too now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound everyone over to disobedience so that they may have mercy on them all. Oh, the depths of riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his path beyond tracing out! Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and in him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to view God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. I want to repeat that as well. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Those verses are verses I have written down in my daily prayer book, and I read those every single day. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body and many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is to give, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. That is really, really hard. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. That is one of the hardest things that I deal with personally. We all have people that perhaps we have either wronged or have wronged us, and there's probably some hostilities, and God's calling to us is to bless those who persecute you and bless and do not curse. So we should pray for those that maybe we don't get along with, and pray for them not to come to our way, but pray for them to come to God, and pray for them that they may accept Christ, and pray for them that we may have a brotherhood, a sisterhood, a union, a oneness through Christ. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Chapter 13. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of the possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities of God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And those words were spoken in Matthew and in Mark by the Lord Jesus Christ himself when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. And Mark adds strength. And then he goes on to say, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come already for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or debauchery, not in dissension or jealousy. Rather, close yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Chapter 14. Accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them both. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God, and whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the living and the dead. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister, or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat, as it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. Well, we'll stop there today. I want to thank everyone for joining us this Sunday, and say a little prayer here as we conclude. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our audience today, and we ask that they may accept you and love you and be with you this day and every day, and we ask for your peace to be upon them. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service and the program called Reflections. My name is Jim DeJunis. Again, this program was for the blind and print impaired. If you have any feedback for us, please call the station. We'd love to hear from you. And we ask that God bless you this day